Are you excited? Can you tell the difference already? We're back. We're in studio, and we are back.
You're not gonna say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum wine, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the bone thugs in. Are they in harmony?
The sweet sounds. Well, I have a new mixer, and this is I got this in, you know, a mere 6 months ago, but because of the busyness and life getting in the way, I haven't really had a lot of chance to fool around with it. Although I can do some things like you know, maybe I want to make myself sound more official. And I think I can do that like this, maybe? No, it didn't work. I got nothing. I was supposed to have some crazy effects, but I had nothing. I had this all worked out, you know? I had these great effects that were going to happen. I had these awesome, you know, tools to use, this echo that I was going to throw on the whole thing, and I can't remember how to make it work now. So we're fucked. We're just fucked, I guess. I thought I could do it. Hold on. This is really what you've been waiting for, right? I've got a ReadyFX effects engine. So if I turn this up, and turn this up. Does that do anything? That doesn't seem to be doing anything at all. Well, shit. That was my big surprise today. I'll have to figure out what I did wrong, because at some point, this was working great. What if I...
Oh, shit.
I figured out the slider dial.
Now it sounds official. Sunday.
Everyone talks about it. Okay, that's annoying. Well, let's see. That was an echo. Let's see what else we got.
Now stand for our national anthem.
It's hard to do that and not talk slow. I see what people are talking about when they sing the national anthem, because I just couldn't even say national anthem. This is delay two. Delay. It's medium. This is a slow.
Oh, that's awful. That's outer space.
Let's see. This is a bright room. Oh, this. I could use this to make it sound like, I guess, I'm in an interrogation or something. I basically have Night Veil now effects. This is a warm lounge. Can you feel the warmth and the lounge? Small stage. Warm theater. Warm hall. Concert hall. Da da da. Plate reverb. Ooh, cathedral. Now this is like Castlevania. Chorus. Oh, that just... Okay. That makes me sound a little electronic, doesn't it? I feel like I sound like a sort of C-3PO or something on the radio, but this is even more. Whoa. This is chorus plus reverb. This is doubler. Oh, God. So this would be my Night Veil character, Twinsy McGee. And it's like, oh, they talk at the same time. So as they're being interrogated, it's like... Okay, Twinsy, tell us what you know. Well, we were at the same place at the same time. Twinsy McGee, everyone. And then an echo again. So there you go. Those are my effects. Do you like them? I've got, you know, we have 12 12 preset effects, and I guess I could fuck with them too. We did have some things to get to because we've been gone so long. So, first of all, we had a return of Ask a Black Lady with Jen, which comes with a fun graphic. Maybe I'll have to download it and put it on as the album art or whatever so you can all see it. I think I can do that. Hang on. So here we go. Hey, Peter, I've enjoyed the recent episodes. Ian has been hoping I'd use this graphic, I CC'd him, so that he can experience a bit of joy. Well, it is a joyful graphic, I'll say that. Anyways, you've mentioned a couple things on which there is a definite black perspective. All right, here we go. First, on the issue of petroleum jelly / Vaseline. You seem to think it's strange that people might apply this to their skin regularly. However, black people apply it to their skin very frequently. I keep a jar in the bathroom and both a small jar and a smaller tube in my purse. We get ashy, and most lotions, except for Nivea, are basically useless when used alone. I usually mix Vaseline and lotion. There are other options, cocoa butter, shea butter, coconut oil, but they are more expensive and require more frequent application. The cheapest and most effective product is Vaseline, so we use a lot of it. So that was in reference to, I believe, I was talking about a column I was writing about the glove full of Vaseline from Of Mice and Men. You can find this on Lit Reactor. I did an experiment where I wore a glove. Now I'm going to tell you listeners something that came about that didn't make it into the article, because of the timing of the article and all that. According to Cassie, there was actually a noticeable difference in softness between the Vaselined hand and the non-Vaselined hand. So that happened. I don't know what to say about it. It's fucked up, right? But she said there was a difference. So Vaseline, A, is an acceptable lotion. B, here was the thing. When I wrote the article, I had a distinct memory of hearing that that Vaseline as lotion was not uncommon in the black community. But I kind of searched around to try and find some confirmation of this fact. And the closest thing I found was on an episode of Tyra's show. She was revealing her biggest beauty secret, and supposedly it was Vaseline. Which I was like, that's kind of a cop-out, because I think Tyra's beauty secret is no secret at all, and is just like, my parents were really attractive, or, you know, their genes combined to make me attractive. That was my sort of half-assed Tyra voice, which I think is a half-assed Oprah voice. And so I knew I'd heard this somewhere, and I thought maybe it was on, like, from Bill Burr, because I think his wife or his girlfriend or somebody he sees romantically is black. And he was saying something on like Conan or something about how, you know, he's like, I've learned that something that black people do is moisturize and use lotion, you know? And he's like, I didn't realize it, you know, that my skin is garbage and I need to do this. You know, this is something I've learned. So anyway, I thought I had heard that, but then as I'm writing this column, I could not find any... I searched desperately for evidence of this. You know what I mean? Like, where did I hear this? What was the context? And I could not find it. So then I couldn't include it because, you know, people flip the fuck out. If you put something racial in your column that, you know, someone disagrees with. I wonder if you can hear the train. I have my window open. It's hot as fuck. They haven't turned the AC on in my building yet. It's kind of a tragedy. And it sucks because... So I had the buildings back because, like, I think there was someone who in, like, March posted a thing that was like, let's petition to have the AC turned on in the building. And I was like, motherfuckers don't understand. I was like, you know, this isn't like your house. They have to, like, turn the AC on. It's a process. It's involved. And once it's on, it doesn't go back off. And so, like, they can't turn it on in March, because it's going to be fucking freezing in parts of March and April. It snowed / rained like a week ago, you know, early May. And that's just Colorado style. So, like, they can't do it. And I even wrote on the petition, I was just like, you know, it's more involved than that, and they can't
just turn it on. So they got to be sure it's going to be pretty warm for the remainder of the year. And then also it just pissed me off because I was like, is this how this works? You think it's just like a petition? You think they don't know it's hot? I mean, it is. It does suck. If you live here and you're on a higher floor or something, it's pretty hot. Like, it's going to be warm. But fuck it. Who cares? Anyway, so then they're like, sent us an email, and they're like, we're going to turn it on the first week of May is the plan. And I was like, all right, cool. Then they sent us an email last week that was like, we're hoping to have the AC on sometime next week. And I was like, damn it. Because it's been pretty warm. I went up to the third floor to do laundry because my floor does not have laundry. And the bottom floor laundry is for scum. And it was pretty warm up there. I felt for them. I felt pretty bad for them. Not so bad that I would do something, but, you know, bad. Anyway, I don't know how that got into Vaseline and whatever. Okay, here's the point. I had heard something about this before, but then I did some Googling, and my God, I Googled some shit that I was like, someday when someone's making the case against me as being a complete racist dick, they're going to be like, look at this Google search history. Black people Vaseline or something, like, you know. And just like, it feels very weird to Google certain things. Like, okay, I had a weird Google the other day because I wanted to know, what's the song that's like when a monster shows up and it goes, da-na-na, da-na-na-na-na. And I was like, how do you Google that though? And, you know, of course, every idiot is like, use Shazam. And I'm like, have you ever tried to sing into Shazam? It doesn't fucking work. It doesn't work that way. It's sort of like I could sing a song into here and YouTube would not recognize it as that song. It's something to do with, like, the pitch and the beat and all that. And probably something to do with the fact that I cannot sing. Anyway, that was weird to Google, but it wasn't, like, bad. You know what I mean? It didn't make me feel like, this is odd territory. But then Googling about, like, Black people beauty secrets or something, and I was like, this is odd. I don't know why. Anyway, back to the email. Second, the question of whether people are hitting kids and if they think it is okay to hit kids. The majority of Black people believe that parents should be hitting their children. This enthusiasm has to do with the Bible and our familiarity with violence. Many Black parents say that if they don't teach their children to respect authority by beating them, those unruly children will be literally beaten down or killed when they encounter the police. This cultural co-opting dynamic is complicated, but real. This Black mother was celebrated for hitting her son during the Freddie Gray riots. The commentary that called out the wrongness of her actions and the laudatory response was a minority opinion. For the record, I oppose hitting kids. Just thought you might find it interesting to know where Black people weigh in on the important and not so important questions of our day. TTYL, Jen. So yeah, I guess that's a thing. I don't know how, like, I don't know. It's weird. I don't know what to say about it, because it's like, I sort of understand the idea of, I hit my kid because, you know, if the police come or whatever, then I want to hit my kid so the police don't or something. Man, that's fucked up. And I don't know. You know, far be it for me to judge other parents, I guess, because I don't know. I wouldn't say I support hitting kids. But it's just something you don't see a lot of, but maybe I don't see a lot of. I guess, you know, kids, parents who bring their kids to story time generally aren't then beating them later, it seems like. Seems like they're a little bit not into the... If I'm going to beat my kid, why am I taking him to story time first? Be like, well, I want you to be well-educated and afraid. But there you go. So see, this is perfect. Because it's like, not going to say it, somebody should. And it's like, I can't say these things. But this segment, it can be done. Ask a Black lady. I wish we had a theme song. But, you know. So we do have also from Jen and Ian, frequent listeners, a sports report. I don't really know what this is exactly. I haven't listened to it yet. I don't even know how long it is. Let's see. I'm going to just start it here. Oh, it's about 6 minutes long. That's a pretty good length. So we'll start this, and you know, maybe I'll jump in and comment. So here we go.
We're here with Sports Talk at the Helpful Snowman Southern Station down here in Phoenix, Arizona. It's spring training. It's
sunny Arizona.
Sunny Arizona. And we're here with our star sports reporter.
Yes, I am Danica Patrick.
Okay, hang on. Before we do that, I mean, we're going to need some sports music, don't you think? I don't want to go into a sports report without sports music. I got real into this NFL music that I found. You know, I guess there's like a whole, you know, there's like 100 disc set of NFL music. It's this guy, David Robidoux. Let's go through some of the names here. Fight for Honor, Nowhere to Hide, Path to Honor, Glory and Honor, Test of Honor, Bound by Honor. Here's one called Slow It Down, Furious. Let's try Slow It Down. That's like out of character with the rest. So it makes me interested. Oh no, that's no. Out of Nowhere? Here's Out of Nowhere. There we go. So let's start this over.
We're here with Sports Talk at the Helpful Snowman Southern Station down here in Phoenix, Arizona. It's spring training. It's
sunny.
Okay, that was a pretty clumsy transition there, but you know, that's why I should listen to things ahead of time. All right, here we go.
Sunny Arizona.
Sunny Arizona. And we're here with our star sports reporter.
Yes, I am Danica Patrick, sports reporter.
All right, so Danica, can you tell us how Samuelson is doing?
Oh!
I don't know what Samuelson is.
Samuelson is having, like, this has got to be his best season ever.
His best season ever, right? So how does it say his best season ever?
Well, I mean, I guess technically it's the preseason, but you can just tell from, like, how he's doing in the preseason that...
Now, I don't even know preseason. I'm not even sure which sport this is. I assume all sports have a preseason, but...
It will be his best season ever.
So I hear Samuelson has changed positions since last season. Has that affected his overall stats?
No, because it's his best ever. He's, last season he was...
Now, wait a second. I'm not very familiar in sports with a player changing position. That sounds unlikely.
Pitching, but this season he's fullback, so that takes a little bit of an adjustment, more running.
Oh, so it's a lot more running being the fullback rather than being the pitcher.
I would say I will agree that being a fullback probably involves more running than pitching.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no running practically when you're a pitcher, but fullback, right. You know, he's got to...
We're making the same points.
Or half, no, running back, he's got to run real hard.
So he's got to run hard. A lot more, and he has a lot more contact with the other players. Does he draw a few more fouls this year?
He's usually doing the tackle. His signature move is sliding tackle.
The slide tackle?
Yeah.
Okay. Does he use that to get the ball as well, or is it only to hit the other players?
I see where this is going. I see that, here's the question I think that we should all as listeners ask ourselves at this juncture. Who's going to break first? Who's going to, like, give up on this first? Which of these two is going to be like, okay, all right. So let's see.
You know, I mean, he's got a lot of joie de vivre. I think he's probably enjoying hitting the other players. Because, you know, I mean, that's what you do when you're playing football. You got to, like, get some hits in.
All right. And so you've got to get some... So really, Samuelson's trying to get as many hits as he can.
You know, whether you're playing American football or you're playing European football, you want to get those hits in.
That's true.
So it's really important to get the hits in football and soccer, as we say in America.
Yes.
All right. So who are Samuelson's big competitors this year?
Well, you got Jones. He's a new draft
Doug
pick.
Jones left the movie industry.
Pick from the Minneapolis.
Oh, here we go.
Martin Jays.
The Minneapolis Martin Jays. Yeah, a strong team. So, you know, that's pretty good.
Yeah, well, you know, he came straight from high school, straight into
the Minneapolis Martin Jays. I don't want to get accusatory, but I think that name may have come from because they both start with M. That's my theory.
The pros.
Okay, so he got drafted straight out of his high school. Was he in Minneapolis for high school as well?
Yes.
Okay, so he was drafted right
there.
See,
now that's the mistake when you're trying to break somebody. Is asking the closed-ended question, was he from Minneapolis as well, instead of where did he go to high school? Because, you know, that it takes a little toll every time, but a closed-ended is easy.
The Martin Jays' own backyard.
Absolutely. There's, who did I say?
Jones.
Jones, right, from the Martin Jays, Minneapolis Martin Jays. And then you got... oh, who is that? Lawler.
Lawler. Okay, so was he also? He's also with the Martin Jays, or is he with a different team?
He is actually a veteran. He took some time off for an injury. I heard he had a real bad stomach ache.
Oh, okay, so yeah.
Well, it sounded like it was close for both of them right there. He came off an injury, and I was like, all right, what's this going to be? A real bad... I mean, that must have been one hell of a stomach ache.
He was on the DL for tummy ache.
What's a DL?
The disabled list.
Yeah, he was on that one.
No, not the other one.
He was
other
on
DL?
The disabled list where you can park in the special spot, because it's like, I've had the worst stomach ache.
The down low.
Oh, okay. So
he was on the DL.
Does the league keep a list of who's on the down low as well?
I don't know. You said you started talking about it. So
okay. So so he's off the disabled list. How's his tummy look for the rest of the season?
You know, I saw an interview with him a couple days ago, and you know, he had a bottle of Pepto. He said he was feeling a lot better.
He was on the disabled list. He was out for a while. Then he was like, I'll get some Pepto and I'll be better.
So, you know.
This is great.
And he's looking real strong at the spring training.
So he's looking pretty strong.
He threw four outs in three innings.
Okay, so he's gotten a lot of outs right away.
Four
so
outs.
Maybe
okay.
As a wrap up here, what are some games to watch here in spring training?
Well, you got the,
I'll say this, the facts aren't there, but the sort of cadence and style is there. Well, you've got the, that was a very classic sports talk move where you go like, well, of course you've got the classic, you know, matchup between blah, blah, blah. You've got your this, you've got your that classic, way to talk about sports.
You got the Whalers. Versus the
Hartford Whalers,
Mountaineers. So you I think the sort of elevation.
See, now that was the opposite. That was a good if you're trying to crack somebody to just give a sort of non-committal because that's like, all right. Well, I need you to tell me more because that's exciting to me, but you don't know why.
Change will be key to their performance. Of those teams.
Okay, so definitely the elevation change will be key to that performance.
Well, you know, because the Mountaineers are the high elevation, the Whalers are at sea level, so...
Right.
And then you got your lawnmower men.
Okay, so...
Okay. Your lawnmower men from that the movie with Pierce Brosnan as a scientist and a man who mows his lawn as a guy who gets trapped in a computer... Kind of a Flowers for Algernon, but if they were like, Flowers for Algernon needs to have a lot more shitty special effects, we bring you Lawnmower Man.
Versus the...
Teen Titans.
The jockeys.
The Lawnmower Men versus the jockeys.
Yeah.
Kind of a natural thing.
Was that, did that come from lawn and then jockey? And that's like a...
So, I mean, do the Lawnmower Men have a height advantage over the jockeys?
Well, you know, I think since the jockeys ride horses, they're better on grass than the lawnmower. The Lawnmower Men need to like cut down the grass before they can get traction. So
they really have to sort of clear the field out.
Yeah.
All right. So this has been Sports Report with
Danica Patrick.
Danica Patrick. Take it back to the studio.
Okay. Let's do that. Hang on, we gotta go back out. You know, if I was like a orchestra guy and they were like, we want you to do NFL music, that would be the best. You know, that would be one of my favorite days. Like, there'd be the day when they're like, okay, we're gonna just play some classical shit and then like, you know, the da-na-na-na-na song or something. And then, but then they're like, all right, we're going to play some David Robidoux. So we've got Fighting Back. Now is the time. Rush Zone. Fight Camp. Hot Stove. January Rain. R-E-I-G-N. Moment of Truth. Crushed. Whiplash. I mean, this is a great playlist. I do want, so I listen to Tell 'Em Steve Dave a lot. And one of the guys is Walt, who runs the Secret Stash in New Jersey. And apparently purchased, you know, a bunch of this NFL music on disc and would often play it in the store, you know, like, I guess to get pumped up or whatever. Maybe if it's new comic book day. I could see this. I could see that going. I would love to just, like, open a coffee shop and that's the music we're playing. I'd be like, I just want to license this NFL music to play in this coffee shop. So you're, like, sitting there drinking a coffee and it sounds like, you know... yes, I will have a skim milk latte. Take it easy on the milk. I don't know. Take it easy on the heat. Do you have any of those stirring sticks? And light foam on that. Do you guys have any, like, of those cute things, you know, that we can get for my dog? And the person's like, of course we do. I mean, wouldn't this, like, help you if you were doing something at work and you needed a sense of urgency? I like, too, all these songs are about 2 minutes long. You know what I mean? And they're all basically songs from, like, a montage from a movie. I need to make a, like, workout playlist of these songs and try it out and see what happens. Well, that was a good sports report. I liked it. I'd like another. I don't know what sports happen. Baseball? I think baseball is the summer. I feel like baseball has already started. But yeah, I'd be down for some baseball sports report. Or just a general sports report's fine too. Also, if anyone you know wants to do some in the field reporting, correspondence reporting, just, you know, shoot me an email, link me to a Google Drive file of your recording. No matter how amateur or silly the topic, I will go for it. Probably more likely if it's sillier, but you know, whatever. Any, I'm happy to have listeners contribute. So there you go. So while we're kind of in the middle of this, there are a few things that have come about that I don't know if I've really given a lot of attention to so far. So let's talk about those. Number one is the short, humorous book Ghost Dick Detective. So if you look up Ghost Dick on Amazon, you can buy that for your Kindle. Or in paperback format. We'll probably do a read aloud on here at some point, but you know, just fucking buy it. And if you open that Ghost Dick, you'll see it's dedicated to some of our Patreon donors. You don't have to have a super high level of money givings awayness to get that donation, but there you go. It's donated. It's dedicated to them. And you could be dedicated to as well when our next publication comes out, whatever that may be. Finally, I put up a video a couple weeks ago. It's sort of a video game playing video, a gameplay type video. Just a fun thing. It's something I'd been working on since like October and then kind of just abandoned completely and then came back and finished. And so it's kind of, you know, an early foray into making little movies. So go check that out. Playing Games with Pete, Veil of Darkness. I think if you put that in, or if you put like Helpful Snowman, Veil of Darkness into YouTube or whatever, it'll pop right up. So, you know, take a look at it. See what you think. See if you enjoy it. There's a possibility of me getting on the old Twitch to play some games live on there too. If that's interesting to you, just let me know via email, tweet, what have you. If you're like, that seems like a dumb idea, I'll be like, all right, cool, I agree. But if it sounds like a good idea, you just let me know. Okay? Okay. You just let me know how that is. There's one other thing too. Well, who cares? That's probably the most important shit that's come up in the last, you know, the last few weeks here. I'm trying to like orient everything so I can actually see the screen on this recorder and be like, is this recording? How far in are we? What's going on? I've completely lost my mind. I am sweating like crazy. Like, you know, when you're sweating, but then it just starts to feel like sweat all over. I do have a butt update for everyone. I think my condition may be improving. And I think this may have come from quitting drinking coffee for almost 5 weeks. So here's what happened. I was just, you know, desperate for anything and was like, you know, what's really the only thing I do that's problematic is drink coffee, right? And of course I was like, well, I've been doing this for years and not had this problem. So it'd be weird if it happened all of a sudden. But the more I thought about it, the more I was like, you know, you have been drinking a lot of coffee lately. Like, I would say I was averaging 4 cups a day minimum, and not weak stuff, pretty powerful stuff. So, and you know, I had taken probably about a week off drinking coffee before, because I'd been sick, and I was like, I don't usually drink coffee when I'm sick because it's like, why? So I can be wide awake and feel sick? That's dumb. So I decided to give it the old college try. And I was like, let's try for like a month. Because, you know, if that's what's causing it, it was like, you know, it stands to reason it might take a month for things to actually improve. And so I went a month and then almost 5 weeks. I was one day short of 5 weeks. I had a coffee because I was on the way back from my periodontist. And, you know, had to do that. So I had my last checkup there. They checked the gum tissue growth and also cleaned the plaque off my teeth because they were like, well, you know, we'll do a cleaning for you since you probably couldn't do it. They used this gizmo that's like some kind of, it combines like sonics and water and electricity or something. And she was kind of explaining to me, she's like, a traditional tool is a scraper, but it's only sharp on one side, so it scrapes, you know, away from the gum tissue, but this doesn't use a sharp thing, and so it does both sides, the gum side and the tooth side. So it's really effective, and it uses electricity to kill the, you know, living cells that, you know, die and turn into plaque, basically. So anyway, it was all good. It wasn't painful or anything, except it makes this horrible metal-on-metal screeching sound, which doesn't sound too bad, but like imagine it's in your back teeth, which is like basically inside your brain, and it's happening. It was rough. I didn't love it. I didn't love it, but you know, I got, it was fine. I finished, it was fine. And then I left the office and, you know, was basically like, well, you know, thanks for fixing my teeth and don't take this the wrong way, but I hope to never see you fuckers again ever in my life. You're all very nice. And if my life turns out remotely how I hope, I will never encounter any of you again, ever. So that happened. And so then I was, you know, I think my appointment was at 9. And so I got done like at 10 and thought I'd treat myself to a little expensive coffee at the expensive, super expensive coffee place that's right on my way out of town there. And it was like a rainy morning, you know, it was the perfect time. So I did that, but I didn't drink even the whole thing. You know, it's like 10 ounces or something. And I probably drank 4. And I did have one the following day as well, because I went to the leadership thing I've been going to, the final countdown for that, and I graduate on Thursday. And so it was early, and I was tired, and was just like, you know, I'm going to fucking fall asleep if I don't drink this coffee right now. So I did. But it's been weird. It's been an adjustment to not drink. I have had black tea probably half a dozen times. And just because I'm like, I could use some caffeine, and I don't think it's the caffeine that's the problem. And even if it is, black tea is so much less. I think it's helping the situation. I don't know if that's the cause or the whatever. You know, so like I'm trying to not, I still haven't really drank any other coffee other than that. So I had it Wednesday, Thursday, and both times had probably 4 ounces. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I've had none. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. You know, how it goes. But I'm optimistic. It would be really nice if this was cured. What would be really nice is if... I mean, what I'm telling myself, because, you know, in order to stop drinking it, I was like, but who am I? You know, it's like being the guy who quits drinking and doesn't know what to do at a party. Because it's like, I have no beers and I'm at a party. What am I doing? But, you know, it was kind of like, how does the morning start? Like, what do I even do when I wake up? And why get out of bed if I can't have a quaff? So it's been an adjustment period. And so what I kind of kept telling myself was, well, you'll probably be able to drink it again. You know, you'll have to, let's just cleanse your body of it. Let's see if we can get things back to homeostasis, a word I learned from the motion picture Biodome. And then get right back on track. That's the plan. That's the hope. So, you know, and then it's like, then maybe you could have like one cup a day and be fine. Or even, you know, if you're having a crazy day, you could go in the afternoon and have a second cup if you're feeling wild. I think it's helped me sleep better too, though. I mean, I was drinking too much. Let's be honest. It goes back to, I'm sure, way, way early in the history of this radio show. I went through a 23andMe, my genes and stuff, and one of the things it said was something that I remember as basically, it's not going to affect you very much if you drink caffeine. Like, that's not going to affect your health. And I was like, well, that is game on then. You know, it's kind of like I wasn't looking to do that. I wasn't like, oh, I'm looking for an excuse to drink more coffee. But when your genetic thing comes back and was like, hey, you could basically, you know, if the genetic thing came back and was like, listen, you'll probably be in great shape even if you drank 6 beers a day. I don't know if I'd start drinking 6 beers a day, but I might have 2 or 3 every day. So it's kind of like when someone opens the door to something, you're just like, yeah, fuck it, I'll go for it. So there you go. That's the exciting update there. So the butt's doing a little better. The butt is doing a little better. Great news, huh?